Kind of wait for the high sign because you never know around here. You know, I got to wait for somebody to give me a come in. You know, whatever the high sign is, I need to know it because I sometimes jump the gun and I want to cut somebody out that's got a song and I get a little excited. Wow, that right there's good, isn't it? Man, the victory's won. I love it. Just coming in here today, you know, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And coming in here today, it just seems like sometimes, I don't know if it's because of the things that you experience as a person. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. Obviously, it has to do with where you're at with the Lord. Sometimes I just come in the church house and I feel just a little bit more excited than others, just a little bit more, you know, less stress, less pressure, just more anxious about getting in here and hearing those songs and praising the Lord and being a part of what He has for us today. So I came in pretty excited today, came in fired up today. It's just a great spirit in God's house, and I love that. And I'm thankful to all you that are here. What a great number of folks we have here today. And I'm thankful that you're coming, that you're faithful. You want to get in here and praise the Lord together. You want to pray together and you put up with my preaching for a little bit. It's so great to just be here at the Cove, and God is really good. God is really good. And He's been so good to us. And I'm just thankful to be a part of what He's doing here. If you haven't heard yet, we had a little gender reveal. John David and Destiny are having a boy. So we are, yeah. So woo. We got two girls, got a boy on the way. So John David's giving it, raising the roof back there in the sound room, but we're excited for them. We pray for them that God just takes care of that precious little child. We're going to be talking about Follow the Leader. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to stand up. The leader says stand up. Leader says, set back down. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, I thought about it, but I thought some of them that take a little bit to get up, when they set back down, it's over. So I'm not going to do you that way. But we're going to look in Exodus chapter number 14. We're going to begin in verse number 5, go down to verse number 14. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. I mean, this doesn't really have anything to do with the message, David. Just make note of what he had go with him when they went to try to gather up and capture these Hebrews. That tells you how many people died in that sea when they tried to cross over. It's just amazing. Verse number 8, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand." That basically is like a powerful hand, the powerful hand of God. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" As soon as the first bit of trouble comes, they start questioning God, doubting what God has planned for them. Verse 12, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Isn't it funny how when things get tough, we always see our former life a whole lot better and shinier than it actually is? We think we had it better back then because we're struggling a little bit or up against the wall or being challenged a little bit. It's not always, the past is not always as pretty sometimes as we want to paint it to be. Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Father, we're thankful for your word. And wow, what an amazing event that took place here as they were camped on the shore beside this sea. And God, how you just brought in that great protection for them, how you opened up the sea for them to cross over on dry ground. God, just the plan and the provision that you had already prepared for them that they didn't even know about. It's all about us following you, God. It's all about us hearing you, listening to you, trusting in you, God. It's about us doing what you tell us to do. Help us, God, to truly be mindful of your spirit and follow your leadership, God. Help us to be obedient children. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive us, God, of the many times we failed you. And I pray that today, God, as we look through these handful of scriptures, that we touch on a few thoughts and points in how we need to follow you, God, that you'll bring these points home to us in our hearts today. And we'll chew on these a little bit, God, and we'll ponder on these ideas, God, that we can be better Christians and better followers of you. We sure love you, and I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful, God, for your many blessings, all that you do for us. And God, just use us for your glory. In the holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Leader says, sit down. I was about to say, those of you that are still standing, you're out. But no, I don't want you to stay. I don't want anybody out. So follow the leader. We used to play that a lot. I know last week we talked a little bit about following God, you know, and so we're kind of keeping that same theme of it's basically just a theme of obedience, understanding obedience. I think we reach an age, especially when we hit our teenage years, once we gain that independence and we're able to get those licenses and we feel like we're independent, we feel like we know everything. If you're 16 years old, you probably feel like you know everything, don't you? I did. I knew everything. Mom, Dad were not as smart as they thought they were, but I knew everything. It's amazing how just in a few more years, I understand they were a lot smarter than I gave them credit for. Once I get into real life and I start making some of these hard decisions and I start reaping what I have sowed, then I understand they weren't so far off from what was true and what was right. So we hit stages of life that we're rebellious. Some of you maybe perhaps have not been rebellious at all in your life. Praise the Lord for you. Most of us have hit a rebellious stage in life to where we disobey just because we know that's they want us to do something. I'm intentionally not going to do it. I'm going to rebel against the system. Which rebelling against parents, rebelling at school, rebelling against society, whatever it is, we choose to rebel and we want to be in the direct opposite of what the leadership is saying that is around us. We just want to rebel. And I understand we go through those phases, and I hope and pray that those are basically phases that we outgrow. Hopefully they are, and seems as though most times that happens. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to understand the importance of us truly following God, following Him as our absolute leader. There can be no other. He is the supreme leader, and we got to follow Him. Here's some simple little points to just put in your pocket and take these home with you that are going to be reminders to us about the importance of us following God and what we need to keep in mind when it comes to following Him. Verse number 13 in Exodus chapter 14 that we just read deals with us listening. And Moses said... Okay, Moses said, Moses speaking to these people, Moses said to the people, "Fear," and here's what he said. He said, "Fear you not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more." There's a difference between us hearing what somebody says and listening to what somebody says. I hear just about everything around me, but I don't listen very well to everything that's said around me, especially if it's directed to me. And I know just from, you know, I use the excuse of I don't hear well because my ears are going bad at the house to not listen when Tammy speaks, especially if it has, when it starts out like this, and she's not in here, by the way, so I can talk about her again. She's back in office or somewhere. When she says, "We need to," amen. I shut it off. Yes, "We need to" involves a lot of me in something that I really don't want to do, but I know needs to be done. Come on, guys, you feel me, right? Amen. So do I hear what she said after she said, "We need to"? I hear all of it, but I don't really listen to any of it some of the times. Because it involves me. It involves me doing something. It involves me getting off the couch and putting down the potato chips and quit watching the game to do something. So we don't listen very well, do we? We hear things, but we don't listen well. And we think because we hear that we're okay. There's a huge difference between hearing something and listening. Listening involves us being active in what's being said and responding to what's being said to us. We all think that none of our kids can, we do think that they can hear, but we know we think our kids don't listen to anything we say because they don't show a response of wanting to be obedient to what's being said to them. And all of us as kids go through that to some degree. And we can play some of that off, but listen, it's very important that we hear God and listen to God when He speaks. We're talking about life and death decisions that are made if we're not listening to God. We're talking about things that can affect our future for the rest of our natural life if we're not listening to God. I can't go to heaven and say, "Well, I'm sorry, my hearing's not that great, God. I heard everything you say, but it was difficult to really listen to you and dial in." I can't use that as an excuse. Why? Because the Spirit's not speaking to me in an audible voice. The Spirit speaking to me inside. Can't use that excuse with God. "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you." You know, we turn the TV volume up. "Sorry, can't hear you." We can't use that excuse with God. Amen. Because God's not going to scream at us. We know that in the Bible, when Elijah was going through and he heard the storm, the clouds, the lightning, the thunder, but then all of a sudden that still small voice while he was in that cave, that was the voice of God. God don't have to scream to be heard, and God don't have to scream to be true or to be right. So that's how the Spirit deals with us now. He speaks to us in that still small voice within our heart. We hear him. Oh, we hear him, don't we? And we know that it's God. So are we hearing God? Then are we listening to what God's saying to us? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They had everything going for them. It was great. I'm not going to say it was perfect, but I'm going to say it was innocent because sin hadn't happened yet in their lives. For it to be perfect means it's not going to have the potential to sin. For it to be innocent means they're without sin right now, but there's still the potential to sin. So the Garden of Eden wasn't a perfect place, but it was an innocent place. They were there and they had everything. And God said, do all that you want to do and enjoy this place. Only don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One thing. You had one task, one job, one thing I wanted you to remember. And they heard what God said. I mean, they were there. God was speaking. They heard what God said, but they went right to the tree and ate of it. They didn't really listen. Had they weighed the decision out and understood what could this possibly cost me? What could happen to me if we really eat of this? Because God said that if you eat of that tree, the fruit of that tree, you will surely die is what he said. So I'm going to venture to say they heard exactly what God said, but they didn't listen to what God said, because if somebody tells you that if you drink out of this water and you're going to die, and you listen to that, I'm going to throw the water away. I'm not going to drink of it. So it shows us that even Adam and Eve heard God, but they didn't listen to what God said. And the problem with us is that we can't use any of that as an excuse when we stand before God. When we give an account for our lives, when our works are tried by fire, I can't use any excuses for why I was disobedient to God. Well, God didn't speak loud enough. Well, God didn't send enough people. No, don't work that way. God will give us everything we need in order to be obedient to Him. He will speak loud enough. Pierce our heart enough to where we can hear what he says, not only hear it, but we have the opportunity to listen to what God's telling us to do. If I expect to have any blessings in life, if I expect to have a joy-filled life and to be close to God, it starts with me listening to the Spirit of God as he speaks. I mean, it begins with salvation, doesn't it? If you're going to get saved, what happens? Well, you first have to hear the Spirit of God bring conviction in your life. Then you have to listen to what he's saying, the details of your situation. The details are that you're lost and you're going to die and go to hell. But if we're listening, the other details are that if we believe and trust in Christ that died on the cross for our sins, he will wipe away all sin. That when Jesus died on the cross, he nailed our sins to the cross, all of them, not just what we committed at that point, but all of our sins we're ever going to commit. He died for all of them. And then us believing in him, we can be saved. So if you are saved today, it's because you chose to listen to God, not just hear what the Spirit was saying. So it begins with salvation. Then after that, it gets into the service and the relationship with God. Everything we do hinges on, are we really listening to God? Are we putting the effort into it? I mean, if I want to hear what and listen to what Tammy is saying, perhaps in another room or around the corner, I need to mute the TV. I need to quit chomping chips. I need to put my good ear up. It requires a little bit of effort on my part if I want to really listen to what she's got to say to me. We need to be the same way with God. Don't expect God to just smack us around and to kick us to get our attention. God will speak, But God expects us to put forth a little effort into listening to what he has to say. Value what God has to say to you. Understand this is not just your friend or an acquaintance talking to us, but it is God himself speaking to us directly through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen. The second one's found not in Exodus 14, but back in Exodus 13, verse number 17 and 18. And it came to pass that when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. He's talking about moving when God says move. It's not just moving when God says move, but it's moving where God said move. They were about to be delivered from the Egyptians, and so what God did is God wanted them to go 3 days' journey and offer sacrifice, right? That was the plan. So God got over here and saw these Philistines. The place he wants us to sacrifice is directly outside the building out here. Just, you know, we're 3 days' journey straight line this way. All right, the Philistines are just outside these doors. So God saw that and knew that. And so what happened was God saw the Philistines and he said, you know what? If the people go through a straight line, point A to point B, and they see war, they see battle, the first few hours outside of being freed from Egypt, then they're going to get nervous, they're going to get scared, and I don't want them discouraged the first moment they leave the Egyptians. So I'm going to take them around this way so they don't have to enter through the land of the Philistines because it's going to be tough. And so that's what God did. He said, I was afraid that if they saw war, they would be fearful. God knew the heart of man. He knew that they didn't need to try to face those Philistines day one because they're going to run back. So he said, I'm going to take them a safer route. Okay, they could have complained to God about, well, God, if you want us to go here, if you want us to go to the mountain, this is the shortest route. The shortest route may not be the smartest or the safest route. Don't you love your GPS? I mean, it tells you if there's a wreck that happens up the road, it happens 5 minutes away from you, it just pops up. It's all red right here. You can't go this way. Here's a detour. GPS is trying to make it safe for you to get where you're going the quickest and the safest way. That's what God's trying to do in our lives, is to get us where he wants us to get the safest and quickest way. So we need to listen. And secondly, we need to move when God moves. Move not only when God moves, but move where God moves. We're all praying, God, you just show me what you want me to do and I'll do it. You show me what... We talk a good talk till God actually puts a place on our heart, don't we? We talk a good talk till God puts a person on our heart that is not the one that's going to be the easy one to witness to, but it's going to be the difficult one that is a pain every day at work. Oh, God, I want to do anything. God, move me, show me, lead me, wherever you want me to go. Okay, I want you to go over here to the water cooler to that guy that aggravates you to death every day, and I want you to tell him about me. Oh, God, I'll do anything but that. Well, then we're not willing to move when God moves. We're not willing to go where God says go. We want the easy route. We want the simple route. We don't want it to be confusing. We don't want it to be challenging to us. We don't want it to cost us anything. Well, then what's it worth? Why is it called faith? And not just follow the easy path of zero resistance. Why is it called faith? Because it requires something of us. It requires something of me to listen to God and to be willing to move when and where God says move. Where God wants us to move can be the tricky part, can't it? We get settled, we get confident, we get comfortable in a setting that we have, and God may pick us up and say, I want you to go over here. That's tough. It's hard for us. We might have our life, everything's going well, and we have our own plan, and all of a sudden God just shows up and interrupts our life. I want you to move now. Well, God, I will. I'll move in 6 months. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me. Give me a year, God, to get all this stuff sorted out. God shows up at times when we don't expect him to, with leadership into areas and directions that we're not expecting. Why? Because he's testing our faith to see if we really mean what we say when we'll follow you anywhere and I'll do anything. We sing those songs about following God wherever he goes, wherever he leads, I'll follow. Will you? Amen. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Will you? Will you really? Now you're nervous because you're afraid God's going to say something to you. Oh, goodness, God's going to send me to another country I can't even spell to witness to people that are not like me. But God wants us to move when he says move. He wants us to be willing to go when and where he wants us to go. So the third one is stop. We got to listen. We got to move. And we got to stop when he says stop. Numbers chapter 14, verse 41 begins and says, Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. That's a pretty straightforward command, isn't it? Do not go. Stay here, because the Lord's not with you. That you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. That's pretty straightforward. Because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. Here's where the problem comes in. They're not willing to stop when God stopped. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. The word presumed here is exactly what you think it means. It means to swell or to be lifted up. Pride. They had these enemies, these Amalekites, these Canaanites, these people that were pestering them as they traveled and as they journeyed trying to get to that promised land that they were looking for. And they thought, well, you know what? We're just going to come out from under the cloud of God. We're going to come out from under that direction of that pillar of fire. We're going to go over here and we're going to whoop them boys. We're going to show them what for. And they wanted to go out and rough them up a little bit. They wanted to go out there and they thought they could take them. They thought they could lick them. So they said, we're going to go over there and show them. And then Moses spoke to them. He said, guys, let me tell you something. Don't go. You're going to lose. You're going to die. Don't go. Stay right here. Stop, because the cloud is not going there. The pillar of fire is not going there. And the ark is not going there. And I'm not going there. We're staying here. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill and smote them and discomforted them even unto Hormah. When God stops, we need to stop. When God is paused, we need to pause. Oh my goodness, how many times have I moved outside of God's leadership? Way too many to count. How many times have I done things that God never led me to do? How many times have I stepped outside of what the Spirit is speaking to me and done what I want to do? And how many times has it been wrong? Every time it's been wrong. Have you ever stepped outside of the will of God? Have you ever went up on the hilltop thinking, well, I can handle this. I don't need, hey, God, you just hang around. I don't need you. I can handle this. We think we're able to handle it. We think we have the willpower and the strength to conquer whatever it is that we're facing. We don't, and we're always going to lose. Every time we're going to lose. We got to trust in God, and we got to listen to him. And when he stops, we got to stop. So a couple thoughts here. One is the obvious is that if God has not spoken in a situation, if God has not clearly spoken in a particular situation in your life, don't move, okay? Don't act without the Spirit of God. But if the Spirit of God does give you an unction, we better move with it. It's important to learn about moving and stopping. Both must be under the leadership of God. I need to move if he says move. I need to be willing to go when and where he tells me to go, do what he wants me to do. But I also need to be willing to stop when God pauses. I think it's a beautiful analogy that the cloud during the day hovered over the top of the camp. And as long as that cloud for those 40 years stayed put, at nighttime it was a pillar of fire so they could see because the cloud wasn't visible. That's beautiful how God did that. Either way, he had a cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night so they could know this represents the presence of God. And if you move outside of that, you leave the presence of God, okay? And you're on your own. You're going to die. So they followed that. If that cloud stayed put, they knew we stay exactly where we're at. If that cloud picked up and rose and started to move, you know what that meant? Break down the tabernacle, break down your tents, put everything on carts because we're moving, and you go wherever that cloud led you to go. Wasn't always obvious where they were going either. They just had to watch the cloud and follow it. Now, God gave them time to pack stuff up. God made sure they were all ready to go, but when he started to move, they needed to follow and move. But when that cloud went a certain distance and it stopped, it was that obvious. They needed to stop and don't move. Stay right where you're at until God moves again. But preacher, what about a decision that has to be made? That's different, isn't it? Yeah, it is different. A decision that has to, if you have to make a decision in the morning by 9 o'clock, these don't really apply to that. If you haven't had an obvious direction given to you one way or the other, but by 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got to make a decision regarding and affecting your life. Okay, here's what I do in situations like that. I first must believe that God's big enough to know I got to make a decision at 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? He's big enough to know that. And until, if he doesn't give me the choice between A or B to make it obvious to me as of that point, then I pray earnestly, God, within my spirit, I feel led to go through this door instead of that door. And if you don't give me clear direction before 9 o'clock, and a decision obviously has to be made, then I'm going to go through that door. And I'm going to believe you're big enough to open it wide or to shut it to where I can't go through it if you want me to go through this door. There are times in life where God doesn't make it as obvious intentionally, just so we will be more earnest about a prayer life, but God will always eventually give confirmation to the direction he wants us to go in. It may be a minute before the decision has to be made, but God has always given us every... What kind of a God would not give us what we need? But along the journey, God wants us to learn things as we progress in our relationship to him. So we got to listen, we got to move when he moves, and we got to be willing to stop when he stops. Numerous times we see through the Old Testament that God's people and David, when he was leading the armies, would pause, wait for God's direction to go here. Do we go to battle? Do we wait? Do we do it tonight? Do we do it tomorrow? Is it an ambush? What do we do? And so they would wait until God's spirit moved. We need to be just as diligent to move and to stop when the Spirit of God moves and stops. The next one is found in Exodus 14 and verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. It's all about trust. If I'm going to follow the leader, I got to listen to what, I need to be willing to listen to what the leader says. I need to be willing to move when the leader moves. I need to be willing to stop when the leader stops. And all that is based on the fact that I've got to trust who it is that's following me. You see a little picture of these ducks and mama duck walking, and the baby ducks pretty well trust mama's going to take them where they need to go. They don't know where the pond is. They don't know where they're going to get something to eat, but they're trusting mama because that's mama. You know, you just, we have that natural trust. It's instinctive with us as children to trust our parents that care for us, provide. We trust them for everything. And we need to be that same way with God. We need to trust him to be exactly who he is. That childlike faith that we have in our parents and that unquestioned trust we have in them, especially at those early ages that we just believe, you know, if you told them that the sky is lime green, they just want to believe that because you said it. And that's how we need to be with God. We must always have that childlike faith and trust in God. We must have the heart of a child. Otherwise, we're not even going to see heaven. But we got to believe and trust that God knows exactly what he's doing, and God's going to take us exactly where we need to go. The problem with trust and me is this, is that I've grown up and become an adult. That's a problem for me.
Amen.
I grew up. I'm not a 7-year-old kid anymore. I'm not that 8, 9, 10-year-old kid that just believes God can just do anything. Now, I've grown up, and I've been impressioned by society and by the world. I've been affected by things I've seen and by things I've heard that are not always good things. Causes me to doubt. I'm not so much doubting, and maybe you can follow me with this. Maybe you can follow me with this. I'm not so much doubting that God can do it. I'm just doubting that God would do it for me. Doubting God. Oh, I can see God coming through when it's parting the Red Sea for Moses. And Moses is a big deal. I don't think God's going to part no Red Sea for me. You see, we doubt. We're not doubting the power of God. We're doubting what God we believe will do in and through our lives. The same God that Moses prayed to is the same God that I pray to every time I pray. He has not changed. He has not diminished in power 1 ounce. If anything, God's grown stronger. I don't even know how that could happen. But if anything's happened, God has grown stronger. But it's the same God. I'm praying to Christ. I'm praying for that leadership and that guidance. I got to trust that the same God that did all of these miracles that are contained in this book is the same God that wants to work miracles in my life today. Do you trust God? Do you really trust Him? And we can say that, only trust Him, only trust Him. We say it, we sing it. Do we really trust God? If we do, then you know what's going to happen? Our actions are going to start to show it if we really trust God. Do you trust Him? Are you following the leader? Are we listening when He speaks? Are we moving when He moves? Are we stopping when He stops? Do we really trust Jesus Christ with everything? Stand with me as we pray. Father, as we come to you today and we're challenged by your word this morning, we're challenged, God, to follow you. We're challenged to listen when your Spirit speaks to us, to move when you give us guidance to move, and to stop, God, until you give clear direction. And God, we're challenged to really trust you about everything in our life. Do we trust you? We know, God, at the end of their story in chapter 15 and verse 1, that they sang a song of salvation and deliverance because they finally did trust in you. You opened the sea. They went across on dry land, God, and they celebrated on the other side, God, that wonderful, glorious day. We want to celebrate too, God. Help us to be obedient to you that we can celebrate and rejoice in those days and times of obedience. And help us to hear you and listen, God, to what you have to say. Bring us to the altar as we need to be here, God, and just open our hearts to you, God, and surrender leadership in our lives to you. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.